right. So we're continuing our sermon series, the God of Second Chances. I hope you folks are being blessed with this. This is just way too much fun for me. I am really enjoying this. I mean, preaching like 40 years, I have like 40 years of sermons. You know, so I sometimes there's series I've done 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years ago that I go, man, I want to do that again. But every now and then I guess get this inspiration. I want to do something new. I want to do something that I've never done before. And so we've never done this series called The God of Second Chances. And this is so good. This is incredible material. This is looking at the lives of prophets, kings, apostles, spiritual people who made major mistakes in their lives, made bad decisions at one point or another, and yet we find God coming along and just restoring them back in the ministry and keeping them moving on. I mean, we've looked at the Apostle Paul, how he persecuted Christians and how God was able to get this guy back on the right track. We looked at Peter, denied the Lord, how God was able to get him back on the right track. And there's Elijah the prophet, how he ran in fear and got frustrated. There's just on and on and on. Abraham, Jacob, so many people in scriptures that have had those moments where they basically dropped the ball, made a mistake. And this is the story of our lives. This is why we're looking at this. The fact is, you're running the race, but sometimes you get sidetracked. You just make a mistake. Sometimes it catches you off guard, and you just don't realize that all of a sudden, man, how did I get involved in that? How did that happen? But there's always this tendency to say, that's it. I really screwed up this time. God's done with me. He's not going to use me. The plan of God in my life isn't going to be fulfilled. But that is not true. What we see here is God is never caught off guard. He's not surprised. He's not going to give up on us, and he just constantly comes back. And we're using the term the God of second chances, but really it's the God of third chances and fourth chances and 55th chances and 749 chances. That's what he said, like when they asked about how many times did I forgive somebody, it's like it goes on and on and on. But keep this in mind, you know, your mistakes are not fatal. They're not fatal. You know, there are consequences, but they're not fatal. God can restore. And this morning, we're going to read the story about a prophet in the Old Testament that, in my opinion, was the worst person on the earth to ever be chosen to be a prophet. The worst. Now, how about that? This is incredible. We're going to read the story of Jonah. All right? So, help me out. What's Jonah known for? Swallowed by the whale. It doesn't say whale, but we tend to say whale. But so the story of Jonah, he's a prophet of God. This is a prophet of God. God says, go to Nineveh, preach the gospel to them. And he says, I'm not interested. He runs the other way, gets on a boat. God has a storm. And he says, it's my fault, gentlemen. They throw him overboard. He's swallowed by a fish. And in the belly of the whale, 3 days, and says, and then Jonah repented. And then. So like, how long would you have to be in the belly of a fish? So we really should title this, Jonah the Most Rebellious, Stubborn Man on the Earth. Or really, when we read these passages, we really could say Jonah the Racist. Jonah was a racist. He hated the Ninevites. They were not Jewish, and they were bad people, and it's like he just hated them. And racism, as bad as it is, racism is just judging people as a people group when you don't even know them at all. And here's Jonah. I don't like them. No, man, I'm not going to be a part of that. And yet we find in the scriptures God is able to bring the guy around. So I tell you, there's hope for you and there's hope for me. I know none of you ever deal with being stubborn or rebellious, but sometimes I do on occasion. Seldom, though, rocks, right? Anyway, there's hope for me. God's not done with me. And even though I may mess up, God will fulfill his plan for my life. If I can receive that forgiveness and restoration and get right back up and say, I'm sorry, Lord, let's get going. So let's look this morning and, well, how about this? We just talk about, before we even read, let's just dialogue a little bit about Jonah. Now, I don't need a hand raising. I should have done a text poll, but we haven't done those in a while. But I'd like to say this. How many of you really believe Jonah literally was in the belly of a whale in the ocean for 3 days, and then the whale threw him up, and he ended up on the shore and went and preached to the gospel? How many of you, okay, those of you that don't have your hand, I'm not looking, okay. So, true or false? So, you know, skeptics just love this story. They just love to make fun of this story. This is the stupidest story in the Bible. Actually, because this story is in the Bible, this is one of the reasons why I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Because there are things in the Scriptures that the Scriptures make no apology for, and they're so outrageous, you just have to go, whoa, what's up with that? I mean, this is crazy stuff, and actually, this has embarrassed many Christians are embarrassed by this idea. You know, they kind of drop their head, Jonah was in the belly of a fish in 3 days, and I know it sounds ridiculous, but, you know, is it even possible? Could something like this happen? Well, so you know, if you read up on this, first of all, there are fish big enough to swallow a man. I mean, you all do realize that. Actually, the blue whale is so big, so I was trying to get a feel for it. So if the blue whale's head was here, his tail would be sticking out the double doors. Yeah, and if we were looking at how wide, he would basically be able to swallow this whole group of people right here. You could all stand up, you know, do the wave or something, or do O-H-I-O, all of you, this whole group, inside the mouth of a whale. So you can drive a bus inside of a whale. So, I mean, these things are huge. So is there a fish that can swallow a man? Yes. You know, they found whales. They've harvested whales and found whole sea lions in them, cows, horses, 400-pound squids, giant animals inside the belly of a whale. So could a whale swallow a man? Yeah. They don't have teeth. But, you know, there's people that read this and they say, well, it's probably symbolic. And anytime I hear that, I think, well, the only reason people generally try to negate miracles of the Bible and say it's symbolic is just because your own faith is weak and you just feel like, well, God can't do that, so it must be symbolism. But it isn't symbolism, and even though it could happen naturally, it probably didn't happen naturally, like the structure of a belly of a whale is like a cow, and you know the cow has different stomachs. So if the whale swallowed Jonah, he would be in the first stomach, and the first stomach crushes the food, and then you go into the second stomach, and that's the digestive juices. And I've had people say, well, how could a guy be in the belly of a fish for 3 days and the digestive juices would just dissolve him? Well, the answer is he probably would never have made it to the digestive juices. He would have been crushed in the first belly. So, is there a fish big enough? Yes. Could this have happened naturally? Probably not. And you know, here's an FYI. At least once a year, I see the internet somebody posts a story about how somebody harvested a whale and actually found a person inside a whale. I mean, I don't know if you've ever read these, but there's articles out there, and they're just not true. You know, they're your standard internet myths that, by the way, you should never pass on. You know, don't forward that. If you see stuff like that, it's always wise to do a little background check, and there's lots of sites that have fact or fiction or, you know, information. Yes, that's true. No, it's not. And you still have to kind of, you know, process through that. But there are no stories other than the one in Jonah of a person ever being swallowed by a whale, being in the belly for 3 days and actually coming out. There are no real stories that have been footnoted or referenced or anything like that. So how did this happen? It's not symbolic. It really couldn't happen naturally. So what the Bible tells us is when Jonah was on the boat and the storm was happening, it says God prepared a large fish for Jonah. So I'm in the category of saying it probably was a miracle. And actually, the reason I believe this literally is because Jesus believed it literally. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So apparently Jesus thought Jonah was a true story, and he's using Jonah as an example of what was about to happen to him. So it wasn't symbolic. It wasn't something just a fairy tale. Jesus believed it. He believed it literally, and he used it as an example, and he also fulfilled it. So I would just say this. It's a miraculous story, just as miraculous as Jesus being crucified, buried, and raising from the dead 3 days. It's okay to just say it's a miraculous story. Even if somebody says, well, you know, how it could actually happen. Probably didn't happen in the natural, probably happened in the supernatural. But let's take a look at this story. There's some great, great passages in here. We're looking in the book of Jonah, and we'll start in Jonah chapter 1. This is God's call to Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, go, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, which is the opposite way. So he paid the fare, and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. So here we have the story. Jonah, God tells him, go to Nineveh. Why didn't he want to go to Nineveh? Well, the reason we read, if you read any history about Nineveh, Nineveh was a really, really bad city. I mean, like, really bad, all capital letters. Like, when they conquered a city, they took no prisoners alive. They didn't believe in war criminals. They killed them all, and they would do horrible things. Cut their tongues out, skin them alive, burn them alive. They would build piles and piles, like pyramids of human skulls outside of cities that they destroyed. These people were really bad. Really, really bad people. Evil people. Hateful people. And so here, God says to Jonah, go to Nineveh and tell them I'm about to judge them. So God's telling Jonah, go there. Jonah's going, I don't want to go. I'd rather not go. As a matter of fact, not that I'd rather not go. I'm not going. I'm going the other way. And if anything, this just kind of jumps out at me to say, well, you know what? Sometimes I think we're like Jonah. I mean, have you ever had times in your life where God told you to forgive somebody and they were acting like a jerk and didn't deserve to be forgiven? And you go, I don't want to do that. Ever ask you to love or serve somebody who's being really mean and unloving? I mean, we have these kind of reactions. In Jonah's case, this is blatant racism. This is just bad. Jonah's bad. You know, sometimes I read this story of Jonah, and I can't help but I feel a little bit bad for God. I mean, you just imagine God up in heaven looking down going, oh, man, is that all I get to work with? Jonah? Come on, Jonah, you're so messed up. But all right, I'll work with you. You know, I mean, sometimes, you know, here, God, perfect, loving, kind, compassionate, understanding, awesome, and he's trying to use us to advance his kingdom. And he looks down, it's like, well, I got Elijah, he ran away. I got Peter, denied me. I got Paul, who was persecuted. Oh, now I got Jonah, he's a racist, he's egotistical, he's man. But this is the story that's in the scriptures where you see God does not give up on Jonah. He presses on. He presses in here and gets it done. And I think it's the same for us. You know, you may have your times where it's like, I don't want to do that. I'd rather not, God. You know, here am I, send her. You know, here am I, send him. No, God wants you. And God wants you. And maybe you didn't do it right the first time, and maybe you did run, but he doesn't go, okay, we'll see you later. He comes right after you, and he keeps on pressing in. And part of the reason here is he really did love the people of Nineveh. He really did. I mean, as bad as they were, he loved them. But he also loved Jonah, and he wanted Jonah to be a part of advancing his kingdom. So it's both sides. He wants to use us that we might be a part of the kingdom of God, but he wants to use us to help people that we may not like. They may be people you work with. They may be people at school. They may be your relatives. They may be your neighbors. And you're going, they drive me nuts. But hey, if God's telling you to reach out to them and be a blessing to them, listen, because he wants to accomplish something. He wants us to be a part of it. So Jonah's going, I'm not going to do it. And so he runs. And so you keep on reading the story. This great storm arises. The sailors are freaking out. What's going on? We're going to die. Jonah, in the meanwhile, and the rest of this chapter are sleeping. They go wake him up. Jonah, what the heck is going on here? He says, oh, man. He says, it's my fault. You're all going to die, and we're going to sink. It's my fault. And they're going, wait a minute. What should we do here? And you get to verse 12. He says to them, well, look, pick me up, throw me into the sea, then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. Now, if this isn't the absolute craziest definition of stubborn, I don't know what is. You realize what Jonah is saying? The storm is my fault because I'm running from God. Wouldn't you say, well, stop running? Say you're sorry. Let's go back. Let's get this right. He goes, it's my fault, but you know what? Rather than do God's will, kill me. Kill me. He didn't know there was a fish prepared for him. He's telling them, there's a storm going on. We're out in the middle of the sea. Throw me overboard. I would rather die. I don't want a second chance, is what he's telling. I do not want a second chance. I'm not going to do it. I mean, this is stubborn. This is stubborn. They freak out. You're a man of God. We can't do it. They're trying to figure another way. You get all the way down, and they throw him off. Verse 15. So they pick up Jonah. They throw him into the sea. The sea ceased from its raging. The men feared the Lord and offered sacrifice. Now, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. That's why I say this is probably not your natural whale or shark, because a man would probably not survive in the belly of a whale in the natural. But God prepared a fish, and this was a miracle. God prepared a fish. The fish swallows Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And then look at the very first word of the next chapter, at least the King James. Then Jonah prayed. You see a problem with this? 3 days like this. I'm not going to do it. And then it's like, Jonah, the digestive juice is in the other, you know, not going to do it. 3 days. I think it was prophetic, you know, it ends up being prophetic, like Jesus said about his 3 days, but he waited 3 days. Then he finally prays. Verse 2, I cried out to the Lord. Yeah, sure. Finally, stubborn, racist, egotistical, bad person that God calls a prophet, that God is going to use, that God said, I know, Jonah, you're done. I know you'd rather die, but I love you too, just like I love the Ninevites, and just like I'm going to save them and reach out to them, I'm going to reach out to you. So he's working with them. Finally, after 3 days, he cries out to God, and all the way down to verse 10, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah unto the dry land. So this whole idea of the fish is the fish was prepared not as judgment for Jonah. The fish was prepared because this was God's second chance. If God didn't prepare the fish to swallow Jonah, he would have died in the storm. But God saves his life, and you get to chapter 3, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. So we're talking about second chances. This is the second chance. So he doesn't obey God the first time. He disobeys, runs away, gets swallowed by a whale, 3 days in the belly of a whale, finally repents. And this is where you might say, well, he really messed up, and God's plan to use him is probably ruined, and God's not going to be able to use him, and it's all wrecked. Well, it isn't. Right away, chapter 3, verse 1, and God says to Jonah the second time, this is the second time, hey, Jonah, here we go again, get up, go to Nineveh, preach to that city. This is the same with us. I'm telling you, he doesn't give up on you. He's not caught off guard, he's not surprised, he's not frustrated, he's not angry. He loves us, and he will work with us until the very last breath that we take. He has a plan for our lives. And we may be on target some days, and some days we're not, but he's pressing in. This is the second time. So, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arise, went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' journey in extent. So what he's saying is this is like a capital city. This would be like New York City, Chicago in the Assyrian Empire, ended up becoming the capital, had 500,000 to 1 million people. Huge city, very prosperous, had walls around the city that were so big and strong that 3 chariots wide could ride on these walls. I mean, this is a massive city, 3 days to walk the length of the city. He gets into the city. Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king. He arose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And it tells us as you read on that God, verse 10, saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. So not only does God give Jonah the second chance, but powerful stuff happens. I mean, this is so cool. He preaches the shortest sermon ever preached. 8 words. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the entire city repents. So much for long-winded sermons. You know, the anointing is not on the length of a service, not on the length of a sermon, and not on the length of worship. The anointing is on the power that's behind it. 8 words, an entire city from the king all the way down turned their hearts to God, sackcloth, ashes, repentance. And God relents from the destruction. That's what he wanted to do. The crazy thing about this is, we're going to finish up here as you get into chapter 4. You think Jonah would have been happy about this? God used him, he repented, he went and preached, and they all got right. Verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. And he prays to God, and in his prayer he says to God, "See, I told you, God, I knew if I went and preached, they were going to repent and you were going to forgive them. And that's exactly what I didn't want to happen." Wow. Wow. So now you would think this is the point where God said, "Look, Jonah, I just can't use you anymore. You know, you just are out of touch." But he doesn't. You continue reading on, and he's like, God's tweaking him some more. "Okay, Jonah, we got to work." He does this little parable about a tree and how Jonah was mad that the tree died, and God said, "Look, man, you're sad about that, but I'm sad when anybody dies who's not had a chance to know me." And he's still working with Jonah. He works with him right as the book ends. So, you ask yourself, why is this book in the Bible? Why is this book in the Bible? If I were writing the Bible, I would not put this here. I would think, "Oh, that's just too much. That's too much grace. That's too much kindness. That's too much forgiveness. That's too many chances." Aren't you glad this is here? You know, this is the story of our life, and this is the story of Jonah's, and the story goes on and on and on. We serve a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances, sixth chances. Here's the thing. You're not powerful enough to change the plans of God. You're just not. The only thing that really can happen is God is eventually going to change us. He'll just stay with him. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for hearts that are open, hearts that are willing. And even when they're not, he'll still work with you. Let's pray. God, I thank you that we have this story of Jonah that is it's shocking. It's embarrassing. It's shocking. You put it there. You wanted this to be in your word that we might see something, God. We would see, first of all, this idea of the miraculous, that you, in your word, speak of miracles that are beyond our comprehension, how it could actually happen in the natural. And in fact, it wasn't natural. It was supernatural. Just as the resurrection of Jesus was supernatural. But God, the life of Jonah, a imperfect prophet, one who had baggage who had issues to deal with, and how, God, you continually worked with him. You accomplished your will through him. I pray in Jesus' name, God, that that would be the story of our lives, that regardless of any baggage we've carried, God, that you would still use us, accomplish your will, that we would be a part of advancing your kingdom. We thank you, God, that you are a God of second chances. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up. We'll take our offering. Sense that, you know, there might be some of you here this morning that maybe really can relate to Jonah. You know, I get the sense that maybe there's some of you here this morning been on the run. God's been reaching out to you, trying to bring you into his plan for your life. And the Bible talks about a point in every person's life where they make a decision whether God, through his son Jesus, is going to be their personal God or not. This is not about joining a church. It's not about a religion. It's really about surrendering your life to God. And there's only two ways. You're either running towards him or you're running away from him. And we read the story of Jonah running away. And I just wonder if there's some of you here this morning that might be tired of running and maybe carrying that burden of going the opposite way. And maybe the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart this morning. And I don't ever believe you come to church on Sunday morning just because it's Sunday. I believe God draws you here on Sunday. He has a purpose. He's something he wants to do and say. And I just want to take a moment. We're just going to pray here. And I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit and just ask if there's anybody here that feels like they're coming to that place in their life where they'd really like to make a decision and open their hearts, surrender their lives to God. Maybe you've done it before when you were younger, but you know now you've kind of wandered. But the Holy Spirit's calling you back this morning. So let's just pray. Holy Spirit, we've all been like Jonah. We've all run. And we're just so grateful that you run after us. You bring us back. You love us unconditionally. And I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, if you're tugging at someone's heart here, that they would just sense that call. They would recognize that you're reaching out to them. They would realize there's another way. Father, and you've brought them here this morning. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, you open their hearts, tug at their hearts. So just as we're praying here, if you're feeling like that's you, that I'm speaking to you, and you want to make a decision this morning, would you just do me a favor, just as we're praying, just hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you and join with you in making that decision, because like I said, we all can relate to Jonah. We've all run, but at some point, we raised our hands. We said, all right, surrender. We raised both hands. So you're just sensing that. You're sensing the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart. Would you just do me a favor? Just hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you. Just join with you. The Holy Spirit of God. Hand raised right up front here. Right over here, Paul. Katie, right over here. Anybody else? Feel like the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart this morning? Just hold your hand up. We want to pray for you. No need to be running anymore. Turn it around. Anybody else this morning? Paul, Katie, I'm just going to let you pray with Jamie Lynn there and just see what's going on in her heart, and God would just confirm that. But I want to have our prayer team come up front here, and just a couple of other words that I just feel like the Holy Spirit's saying that there's some of you here this morning, you felt God telling you to do something, and I don't know, I just got this sense somehow or other you got distracted and you've never finished it, and maybe this morning the Holy Spirit's waking that back up. Oh yeah, that's right. The Holy Spirit wanted me to do this. And so maybe this morning God wants to reestablish that, help you to get that project, that plan, whatever it is, get back on the track. And also I got this word respiratory ailments. So I don't know, somebody struggling with, I got allergies or struggling with breathing, inflammation up in the lungs. So I'm speaking to you this morning. I just feel like when the Holy Spirit gives words like that, he's trying to, you know, do something special in your life. So maybe you've been praying about that. If you have other needs this morning, we've got our prayer team up front here. They'd be happy to pray with you. We're going to close out with our last song. You're invited to come forward for prayer.
God bless you as you follow God this week. Have a great week, and we'll see you here next week.